All right, well, hey, let's get into the scriptures here. We're going to look at the word. I want to, you know, I'm doing a series last week and this week. I'm talking a lot about marriage, and I talked about martyrdom, and now I'm going to talk about children. And I want to kind of give a preface before we get into the message. I just want to kind of give a preface here, several things that I'm thinking about that I want to lay out before we look at the word together. I realize that for some of you in here, a lot of you in here, when if I talk about kids, now obviously not for Steve and Steph, this is, applies to you, but for a lot of us here, right, when I talk about having kids and children, that seems like really far down the road, right? So you're like, man, this doesn't apply to me, and I get that. I understand that. What I want to do, though, is encourage you to just listen anyway, because think about a principle. That when I try to start something, I like to always start with the end in sight. So like a principle for me is like if you're building something, start this with the end in mind. Think about the completion of what you hope to do, right? Don't just think about this moment, but what about the end? And so I know this is like a long way down the road, like 5 years, 10 years, whatever. Some of you guys are thinking, Josiah might be thinking like two more years. But think about the end. Keep the end in sight, okay? So this doesn't directly apply to you now, but think about the end. Number two, some of the things I'm going to talk about are kind of a new concept, okay? And some of what I'm going to share as we look at the scriptures and I give some thoughts may be different than what you've heard, and so you might disagree with some of what I'm saying. I want to assure you that's okay, and I want you to think about what I'm saying. At least just open your heart to the Holy Spirit, okay? Just give him room to speak. Think about what I'm teaching, and pray about it. And I would love to talk about these things. Just ask people that know me. I mean, I would love to pray and talk with you. So I make myself totally available. I mean, if you want, just text me. All right, call me, and we'll meet on campus. We'd love to talk through this stuff. So Josiah, as you're getting inspired by the message today, just text me anytime, you know? No problem. And then finally, fourth, one last preface. I just kind of want to preface what I'm gonna say about Psalm 127. The reason I'm teaching this, and really the reason I teach messages about family and children, really all of my messages, but this one in particular, is out of a desire to protect you from error. So my heart is not to prove I'm right. I gave that up a long time ago, man. That's not my desire. My desire is to just protect you. I want to help you to look at critically, right, at the things in society, the ideas that you're being taught. I want you to be able to critically evaluate these things. And as your pastor, I feel a responsibility to do that. Just like I would want, you know, my spiritual leaders to protect me. Just like I want my father to protect me. I want to do that. I have a desire to do that and a heart to do it. So there's my preface. And now we're going to get into the scriptures. And one of, I always say this when I speak to you. I always say one of my favorite scriptures. Reality is, I love the entire Bible. But some of them stand out a little more than others, right? Okay? So this is a good one right here. Let me just pray, and then we'll read it together. Father, thank you for Psalm 127. May you guide us, meet with us, and do something eternal in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. This is what the author says. Let's listen. Behold, children are a gift from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. First thing we see here is that children are a gift from the Lord. You see, there's a real art to being a good gift giver. Some of you in here might be really good gift givers. And then some of you just stink, okay? I'm good at some things, and there's many things I'm not good at all. And I've never been a great gift giver, okay? And so I remember when Tammy and I, before we were married, Before we were married, I had an idea. It was our first Christmas together. We were dating, and I really liked this lady. I was excited. And I thought, I need to get a good gift for Tammy. And so I went to, like, I think it was like a Bible bookstore or something. And I got her a gift that I thought would be awesome. And it was like a coffee mug that had like a scripture from Isaiah on it. Like with those that will renew their wings like the eagle. You know, I don't even know the passage, but it had this black like eagle with eagle wings. And I didn't notice that it looked like a Harley Davidson mug. So that it literally looked like a Harley Davidson mug. But I saw, I was like, that's sweet. Man, it's got the Bible on there. This is perfect. She's going to love it. Yeah, see, yeah, she's not a biker girl. But, hey, I was just trying to get to know her a little more. So I think we actually did Christmas at my parents that year or something. For some reason, I have a vague memory of that, but maybe I'm wrong. But I gave her the present, and she opened it and was just, you know, cordial about it. Wow, well, thanks for thinking of me. But I could tell she didn't like it. And so that was the beginning of my humility and being humbled, as I would understand that I'm not a good gift giver. Because, see, great gift givers, there's an art to it. They are always listening to people. Like, they're listening to conversations, and they hear this is what the person's interested in. They will observe what the person does with their free time, and they'll make mental notes, right? And they think, oh, this would be a present just for them. Anybody know people like that that are really good gift givers? Yeah. All right. If you are one, you don't have to, you know, admit it and brag here, but Eric's a great gift giver. But I've learned my lesson, okay? Because for Christmas this year, I said, you know, I'm just tired of, like, just buying flowers at Kroger's and a card for Tammy, you know, because I don't know what to do. So I had this idea. I said, you know what I'm going to do? I got a secret weapon. That secret weapon is named Emma. So I'm going to bring Emma shopping with me. And I'm going to say, let's get Mom things that she would love. Well, for Emma, that was easy. So we went, and I said, I'm paying. You just pick it out. Well, you know, anybody like to shop and you don't have to pay? All right, that's nice. So Emma went and shopped, and then on Christmas morning, I presented my gifts to Tammy. And they were good, too. Much improved. So it's true. It's been a journey. I realized my weakness. I'm not a good gift giver. But I took Emma. So anyway, you know, the Bible says, so looking at our passage again, if we could go back to it. The Bible says this, behold, children are a gift from the Lord. And the Lord is the best gift giver of all. There's good gift givers, human gift givers, but no one better than the Lord. Why is that? Because the Lord knows what you want. And even more importantly, the Lord knows what you need. See, he's the best gift giver. Now, we all know the greatest gift of all time, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord. He gave us that. Even when we didn't know we needed that, God knew that humanity needed Christ. And he gave the greatest gift of all, which is his son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us as a gift. And the Bible is teaching us here that children are a gift. That means God knows we need children. My kids have been a blessing to me. I mean, we have four great kids, as you guys know. Now, Johnny and Matt, they're a real pain in the backside sometimes. But they're still, just kidding, boys. You guys are a gift. And they are. My kids are a gift. Listen, you guys, there's many of us here that have never had kids. We're not married. You're a gift to your parents. You realize that? When the Bible says children are a gift from the Lord, that means you are a gift to your parents. And perhaps some parents in the world don't recognize this and don't realize that their children, that you guys are actually a gift to them, but that doesn't change the fact. You are a gift. God gave you to your parents to bless them, and as one of the greatest gifts that he's ever given them. Unfortunately, in our culture, many people don't realize this, right? We don't see children as a gift. Many times, And I understand, because it's a lot of work. You know what I'm saying? But many times people see children as like a hindrance to their happiness, right? Just children are going to get in the way to my achievement and my success and my happiness and all that I want to do. For others, children are viewed through an economic lens. And they conclude that, man, it's just kids cost too much, you know? So I'm not going to have kids. This is especially troubling because we must never measure the value of a human being in economic terms. The value of a man or woman is not based on their market value to the economy. That's not where our value is derived from. Your value is derived from God's image in you. That's what makes you valuable, right? Does that make sense? Whether you can contribute $1 million a year or nothing, that doesn't change that. A handicapped person that can't contribute anything is just as valuable as you or me. And so children are a gift from the Lord. And we got to be careful because, and I see this all the time, you know, like if we follow this philosophy that children are a hindrance or a burden, then we can actually, if we go back to the scripture here, instead of seeing that children are a gift from the Lord, which is in line with scripture, we can actually see children as the opposite of that. We see them as a curse. And, you know, it's like, and many people, you know, Jesus Christ is not a curse. He's the blessing of God. You know, he became a curse, the curse of sin, to set us free from death and hell. But he was the greatest gift that God could have ever given. And children are an incredible gift. You know, just, I love to just look in the eyes of children. I love kids. You know, that's why I like to, you know, hang around with Josiah. I just like to hang out with little kids too, though. You know, look at babies. I love to look in the eyes of babies, just like Nora today, as Nora was here. And it's amazing, you know, right? The innocence, the joy, the smile. If you're kind of battling with these thoughts that culture has about children, I have a great therapy for you. Just take a little kid and hold that child in your arms and just feel something and just see what you feel. You know, let them just smack your face and grab your beard if you got a beard, or grab your hair. I get women, you wouldn't have a beard. So that's, grab your hair and just look in their eyes. Feel it, you know, and just see what you feel when you're with those little children. Let me try to make this, I want to apply this, okay? Children are a gift from the Lord. Let me apply it to you, especially for those of you that are not married, which is a lot of us, or you've never had kids. I want to give an illustration of a good buddy of mine that I discipled here at U of M when he's a freshman. His name is Bob Z. Let me put his picture up. Bob Z, Dr. Z. I met this guy. As a freshman going to Markley. And he came in the summer for orientation, and we met him, and he said, oh, man, I want to be a part of this campus ministry. And we started a friendship, and he was in my core group his freshman year, and we're still good friend of mine. I mean, I love this guy. I discipled him. He was with us for 4 years. And he graduated from U of M and wanted to become a doctor. And I remember being in a huddle, so he was in my huddle. I was his coach, you know, because not only did I disciple him, he was raised up and became a core leader, like many of you are in the process of doing. He became a core group leader, and I would meet with our leaders. And I remember, I'll never forget this moment. He said, pray for me about getting into med school. It's hard, but I want to. And I remember I looked at him, and I said, well, Bob, let me ask you a question. Do you really believe this is God's will for your life? And, you know, he was about a 21-year-old, 22, and he said, I do. I think this is what God wants me to do. I've always wanted to do it. And I said, well, let's pray in faith. And we prayed, and God opened the door. He went to med school. Why am I sharing this story? Let me tell you what he did early on. I talked to guys like him. We have several guys that we discipled over the years that went down that same track. He purposefully chose to go into family medicine. Why? For more money? No. So he could spend more time with his kids. See, he could have said, you know, he's a sharp guy. He could have done anything he wanted. He could have said, you know, my highest value is making the most money I can. Now, trust me, there's nothing wrong with guys that go into very competitive fields like heart surgery, especially if you have a heart attack. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad there's heart surgeons, right? So I'm not trying to say that's wrong. I'm just telling you his story, what he did, okay? he purposely made a decision as a young man, like your age. He's like 20 years old talking about this. And he said, if he goes into certain fields of medicine, he's never going to have a family. He's going to be gone 100 hours a week. And that's just the reality. But I can make enough money as a family physician, and I can help a lot of people, and then I can actually see my kids and see my wife. And that makes a happy wife and a happy life and a happy family. And so what I want to tell you is, as you're at the outset, you guys are all starting out right now, think about the end, okay? I know, instead of just going, oh, this doesn't apply to me, this is like 20 years down the road, think about what could I do now? What changes could I make? What adjustments could I make in my career path, right? So that when I get launched into it, I can spend maximum time with family, right? Does that make sense to you? So that, why do we do that? Because children are a gift from the Lord. They are a blessing. Some of you in here had parents that maybe didn't spend a lot of time with you. And if that was you and you never really got to know your dad, maybe you didn't know your mom, think about how that made you feel. You know, what does that do to your heart, you know, and your emotion when you look back and you think about, man, the absence of a father, the absence of a mother? That's happened to many of us in here. I get that. I know that. Make a decision, and maybe I want to try to pump you up and inspire you, okay? You ready? I'm going to do a little talk here. You ready for this? Pump you up. Change the course of your family's destiny. Do it through God. Say, you know what? Maybe my parents weren't there for me as much as they could have been, but I want to do it different. And by God's grace, I'm going to be a good mother. I'm going to be a good father. Right? You can do that through Jesus. You can break that curse. You can stop it right there and say, and that's what, you know, my wife has done. Tammy made that decision when she was young. Like, you know what? There's things that I want to do differently, and she has. And so let me just, again, think long term, guys. Think the future, and let's just be great parents one day. For some of you, it's closer than others, like Eric. Now, like, let's see what the scriptures say. Can we go back to that Bible verse? Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward, like arrows in the hand of a warrior. So are the children of one's youth. So look at this. How do you guys like this? So Matthew, we carpool to school, and there's two boys that we take to South Arbor. We pick them up in the morning with Matthew. And these boys, they were in our neighborhood. They moved out into the country because they've got some more land now. And like every time they get in the car, I mean, I'm exaggerating. It's not every time, but it's very often. You know, Carson comes in. He's like, I trapped that coon last night. That thing was going crazy in the cage. I'll tell you what, I'm going to get that possum, though. You know, guys like that, they live to hunt. And so so I knew that, you got a question? Does it mean children of one's youth need what? No, it just means that you have kids when you're young, because when you're old, you can't reproduce anymore. No, it's just, I mean, some teens get pregnant if they're married. That's a good thing, if you're married first. But yeah, she asked, why does it say children of one's youth? Because you reproduce when you're young. When you're, yeah. Well, we'll talk about biology later. But, okay. But we're going to just talk about the scriptures right now. All right. So this family, they love to hunt. And so I knew, hey, I need to get a bow and arrow. Who am I going to talk to? So, of course, I called up, you know, their dad. He said, sure, I'll drop it off. And so he said, I'll just put the practice arrowheads on. I said, no, I'm going to be going into the amphitheater at U of M. Let's just take the arrowheads off totally. He goes, yeah, that's probably a good idea. So there's no arrowhead. Don't be worried. But this is pretty amazing. I'm not even going to put it on because I don't want to pull it back and accidentally even shoot it. That's very dangerous. Chris, don't be worried. Chris is worried. He's like, I know, Pastor Nino. But look, isn't this great? You just kind of pull it back like this. Look at that. Just like that. Boom. Awesome. Fun. So the Bible says that children are like arrows in the hand of a warrior. Think about that. Now, why would the Bible say that children are like arrows in the hand of a warrior? Well, let me talk first about the metaphor of warrior. Obviously, the people of God are in warfare. We're always battling darkness. It's a spiritual battle that we have to fight. And any one of you that has determined to serve Jesus, you know it's a battle, isn't it? If you're not battling, then you're not going the right way, guys. Let me tell you. If the Christian life is easy for you, then you didn't sign up for the right Christian life. It's a battle. It is a fight against our own flesh, against the devil, against the spiritual forces of darkness. And we fight that through prayer. We fight it through loving people, loving the hurting. We fight it through worship. You know, when we worship on a Sunday, that can be spiritual warfare. It can change the whole atmosphere of a place, guys. When we come into worship, just to picture angels worshiping with you and just worship the living God, it can change the whole climate of a place as we worship. Can it? Some of you have been in worship times where it's like, man, it just changed the whole feel of the place as we came into the throne room of God. Worship is a spiritual warfare opportunity. Obviously, preaching the word. But this morning, we're talking about children. So why does he say that children are like arrows in the hand of a warrior? Because having and raising godly children is spiritual warfare. And what I mean by that is not only is it hard for you as you're raising kids, but anybody in here raising kids know what I'm talking about? Real easy, isn't it, Steph? But by having children and raising godly children, you're battling the devil. You're fighting against the devil through the very act of having arrows in your home. Listen to Malachi. Let me put up a scripture to help kind of demonstrate this more. This is the prophet Malachi. He says this. If we go to the next script, did I put the scripture in there or no? No, that's fine. Yeah, it's a good sermon. I know. You people are just thinking about it so much. Wow, that's deep. I'm just kidding, by the way. Let's read Malachi. Awesome passage, you guys. This is the second thing you do. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping and crying. So he does not regard the offering anymore, nor receive it with goodwill from your hands. Yet you say, for what reason? So these people were mad because they were asking God for things and God wasn't answering, and at least it seemed like that, and their life wasn't going well. And so they were blaming God. And they're saying, God, we're doing everything right. We're going to the altar. We're crying. And look at how God kind of rebukes them here. In verse 14, he says, yet you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth with whom you have dealt treacherously. Yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant. But did he not make them one, having a remnant of the Spirit? And why one? Because he seeks godly offspring. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously with the wife of his youth. For the Lord God of Israel says that he hates divorce, for it covers one's garments with violence, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, that you do not deal treacherously. Remember last week, I talked about marriage, and you guys remember that, where marriage is a miracle, where a man and woman come together and they become one. Because remember we talked about that and how it's a return to that original state of creation, right? Genesis 2:24. There was Adam. God took the rib, formed Eve, and they came together as one. So here in Malachi, why? Why did God make a man and woman one? Why does he do that? He says it right here. Because God is seeking godly offspring. That is the purpose of marriage, is to produce godly offspring. And our world is desperately in need of godly children. We need that. This world needs lights of love and godliness and holiness, like the Noras of the world, that will be raised in a good home, that will shine for Jesus Christ one day. And all of you here, you're arrows, right? And so for many of you, I just really want to shoot this so bad, Chris. I'm not going to do it. Man, I'm using great self-control. Can I just put it in? I'm not going to pull the string back, I promise. I'm not. So let's just put this here. Okay, that's it. I won't even pull it back, I promise. Here we go. All right. For a lot of you, so many of you, this is for grad student, undergrads especially, but also grads. You're in the process of right now of being shot out as an arrow into the world, right? You take a picture of me and then crazy pastor, put it all over Snapchat. So you are an arrow and you're being shot by your parents, you guys. And God's intention is that where that arrow lands, your life, the arrow of Elliot, it will explode with revival. It will explode with holiness. It will explode with power and glory. You're being shot out as an arrow. And one day, for many of you, you're going to shoot out children as arrows, right? And that is why I love that analogy. Okay, we've got to put this away now because it's getting too exciting. So that is why I believe the scripture says that children, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, they're incredibly valuable, and they are a part of the spiritual warfare. Now let's close here. The Bible says this, if we could go back to that passage. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. Now, you guys all know what a quiver is, right? So this is the quiver here. Pretty cool quiver. A quiver is what holds the arrows. And God is saying, so children are a gift, and because of that, it's a logical jump to the next point. If children are blessed, are a gift from God, the man and woman who have a quiver full of arrows are blessed. How blessed is the man or woman that has a quiver that's full of them? And I have conversations with people a lot, and you know, when you meet people, they ask you certain questions, right? You know, so what's your name? Where are you from? Are you married? How many kids do you have, right? That just comes up. I don't think we have a particularly large family. I mean, we have four children. But when I tell people we have four children, the visceral physical response in their body shows me that they think it's large. You know what I mean? Like, wow, four children. Like, yeah, I feel like I'm an alien or something. So when I talk to people and they just ask, you know, do you have kids? And I tell them, yeah, we have four beautiful kids. Here are some of the responses I get, and I wanted to kind of go through them with you. So these are like concerns people have when I tell them I have four kids. At least I don't, you know, I'd like to tell them, I can't imagine with Chris's grandma when she told them she had 19 kids. And by the way, pray for the Paines. And so their grandma passed away 2 days ago, right? When did she pass away? Was it? Yep. Okay, so all right, so very recent. So we had to pray for the Paines. And we have been, and many of you are, but so they'll be going to the funeral this week. But great woman. You know, she had 19 kids, and I think she had, didn't she have 300? There was a party, you guys, there was 300 descendants of her, direct descendants. She shot out some arrows, man. Woo! So I don't even know what... I don't know what kind of looks I would get if I said I had 19 kids, but I just tell them I have four. These are kind of the objections that I've heard from people, and I want to try to answer them. So I tell them I have four kids, and invariably I get this response. Wow, that's a lot of work. Yep, you're right. Kids are a lot of work. And a lot of work, actually. And more work than I ever imagined. It's one of the hardest, raising kids is one of the hardest things. We got to thank our parents for what they've done. You know, you don't really appreciate it until you have your own kids and see how hard it is. But here's a principle that I've discovered in life. The things that are most valuable in life tend to require the most work. Little work, little value. Great work, great value. And so, yes, children are a lot of work, but the payoff is incredible. It's out of this world, you know? And so here's another thing I get. And I alluded to this already. When I tell them, I have a quiver of four. This isn't right here. Wait, let's do this right. Okay. I hope this isn't prophetic. There's five arrows here. Just kidding. I hope it is. I'm violating my sermon. Lord, let it be if it's your will. Tammy's not tracking with me now. So this is me. I got four arrows in the quiver. So they say this again, and I already said this. Wow, that must cost a lot of money, you know. Yes, it does. Of course, children cost a lot of money. Everything costs money, but so do iPhones and expensive cars and new boats on the lake and houses that I shouldn't have and all these things, right? We spend money on lots of things. And yes, children do cost money, but there are things that are more important than money in life. And people are more important than money. And you guys know me. I'm not saying be irresponsible with money. Obviously, that's not what I teach, but kids are valuable, even though they cost money. And the more money, usually the more value. So, you know, here's another another thing I get. So I talk to people, and I hear this on occasion. They say, well, you know, this world is so dark now. It's so messed up that I just don't want to bring kids into this world, you know. So I get this all the time. Well, I got to quote our very own resident theologian, Chris Payne. This is not an exact quote, because Chris is precise. I'm going to give him my best shot. You can correct me later, but I think I have the gist of it. So we were in a staff meeting. We were talking about this, and I'll never forget something that Chris said. It just really resonated with me. And Chris said, you know, once in a while I hear Christians say, I don't want to bring children into this dark world, so I'm not going to have kids. I'm so glad God the Father didn't say that. Amen. That is true. It's a dark world, and it was a dark world then, and it's always been a dark world, but praise God that the Father said, I'm going to send my son right in the midst of it anyway. You see, that was the ultimate arrow, wasn't it, of the Lord? Jesus Christ was shot as an arrow of God right into this dark world, and that's what I'm trying to say. Kids are arrows. We shoot them into the midst of a dark world to be a light, to be loving, to be holy, to serve people. Incredible. I'm going to have the worship band come up in just a moment here, so if you guys could get ready. We have an opportunity as Christians. We do. And I'm going to share something, but I want to preface it as well, because I think this could be taken the wrong way. What I'm about to tell you is an observation I'm making just because I love to observe the world. I love to study demographics. Should not be what I'm about to say. This should not be your highest motivation for having kids, all right, Andrew? I'm just studying demographics. I don't know what the world is going to look like in 50 years from now, and I'm not a prophet, but I can tell you one thing I know for sure. It's going to be extremely more religious than it is right now, because religious people have babies. It's demographics, right? And the more religious somebody is, they have more babies. Anybody ever noticed this? Have you seen this? Have you observed this or no? You could test me on it if you think it's wrong. The more religious and like committed people are, that you look at, Muslims have big families, right? Is that right? Certain Christians have big families. Certain Catholics have big families. And we see this demographic all over the globe. In Africa, right? People have had big families? Yeah. Do you have a big family or no? Okay, all right. The small family. He has a small family. He has a small quiver. Poor guy, only four. So, but anyway, this is not the guys, this is not the motivation to have kids. Okay, I'm not saying, well, we got to fight the spiritual war, so we're going to have a lot of kids. You have kids because you love children. They're a gift from God, and you want to serve them. Okay, that's why you have kids. But I'm just letting you know, it is another way that we can impact this world for Jesus Christ with loving servants of others. Incredible opportunity to love this world. And I want to close with worship. Maybe I can have the band come up. They're going to sing a song. I do want to say this as they're coming again, just to remind you. I know this is a long ways off for many of us here, right? You're like, this doesn't apply to me. I get that. That's okay. No big deal. But I want you to start life with the end in mind, okay? I'm trying to tell you things I wish someone would have told me when I was 20 or 25. Like, start with the end in mind. Think about the end. And especially this whole concept of career, you guys just really, I want to just make this clear. I'm 46 now, okay? So I talk with my buddies that are, they're all in their 40s. They have kids. They have careers. They've been working in careers for 20 years. I can't tell you the number of times I've talked with men in their 40s that are overly worked, overly stressed, don't like what they're doing, they want to change, but they're stuck. Because if they stop what they're doing, the whole thing collapses, right? Financially, they can't do it. They're like, I guess I'm stuck for 25 more years. I'd never see my kids. Don't do that. Ladies, gentlemen, choose careers where you can be the best dad and the best mom you could ever be, okay? Because I don't want to talk with you when you're 45. Oh, God, I'll be old then. I'll be like in my 70s. And I don't want to hear from you guys suffering. Like, yeah, you're like, man, you're a dad, you're a mom, you chose this career, but you don't get to see your family. Let's choose careers that free you to be with kids. Does that make sense? Yeah, and if you want to talk about it, let me know. I'd love to meet with you. And how John and I, we had a good talk about it, actually, this very issue, didn't we, a couple weeks ago. And John's making some great choices, career decisions, big ones. And he's doing a great job. And so I'm here to help. I just want to serve you guys in this. So, amen. Can we worship the Lord together? Let's do it. Let's stand together, you guys. Let's go out in a time of worship. Thanks for being here. McDonald's, we love you. God bless you guys. Thanks for being here, family. And let's worship God together.